Friends, I'd like to invite you to join me, if you will, in remembering. Remembering back to some of the adults whom you used to see and know in your childhood. I'm not asking you to come up with an exhaustive catalog, but just inviting you to draw up a visual memory of some of the grown-up faces that you may remember. Older relatives, neighbors, friends of your parents, and the parents of your friends, teachers, coaches, music teachers, choir directors, dance instructors, crossing guards, lifeguards, shopkeepers, preachers, custodians, beauticians, garbage collectors, nurses, doctors, dental hygienists, exterminators, plumbers. And I'd invite you to think, if you will, of the most elderly people that you saw or knew when you were young. Did you know your grandparents? Did you know your great-grandparents? Great-great-grandparents? Did you have aunts or uncles, or great aunts or great uncles? Or do you have childhood memories of being around elderly people whom you didn't necessarily know? I think back to Sunday mornings in church, or to seeing my grandparents in the company of other people of their same generation, and just having a sense of being around people of accumulated wisdom and general goodwill. Sometimes I'll see documentary footage from a certain time, or even a well-done movie about the part of the country I came from, the Midwestern United States, that takes place some decades ago, and I can just look at that screen and go, I know those people. Most of this past week, I was planning to ask you to ruminate on the image that first comes to your mind when I say the word home. But I think that Psalm 90 is, in fact, inviting us to think even further. All those people whom you may have pictured in the last couple of minutes, what images do you think may have come to their minds when somebody said the word home? And what do your home images have in common with theirs? When someone says the word home, do you flash on an image from the past? Is it a place or a circumstance from your earliest memories? A place you remember and think about, or maybe sometimes even dream about? And what places do you imagine may have haunted or inspired the people whose faces came to mind when you thought of people from earlier in your life? What was home to them? Or is home for you something that you are making for yourself in your current circumstances? Is that where you go when you hear the word home, to a present day image? Is it the space that you occupy when you feel most comfortable being yourself without having to put on airs or makeup for anybody? Is home for you a person or a number of people with whom you share your life? What do you suppose was home for some of those grown-ups you remember from your younger days? Did that sense of home sustain them in the ways that maybe your sense of home sustains you? What do you suppose it looked like in their minds when they thought of their sustaining home? How did they see it? What did they need to get out of the feeling of being at home? Or is home something in your future? Is home a goal, a place that you are trying to get to, or that you feel that you will inevitably end up? All of us have occupied this world alongside some who are no longer here. For many of us in this room, whole generations that we can clearly remember have gone to their reward. And we learn as we live and grow that we make our mark in our time. If we are fortunate, we remember people whom we still feel we look up to, even years or decades since they've been gone from this life. People who made their mark in their time and whose inspiration continues to carry on, if only in our distant memories. And if we are exceptionally fortunate, we had people, older people, who somewhere along the line in our lives expressed pride or joy in, or at least amusement with, us younger folks. And that affirmation, no matter how small, still makes us feel that they are somehow still with us. This, in a way, was their world for a while, as generations, I mean. They came up in the world and they ran the show for a while, and then piece by piece, family by family, moment by moment, they passed it on to those who would come after them. 10 years go by, 20 years, 50, 75. And the faces change, and the styles and fashions that you and I saw in our childhoods, of clothes and buildings and speech patterns and cars, become antiquated, and we keep moving up the chain. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. How does God speak to you in your time? What does the gift of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you in your time? What does it mean to be at home in God? To know that God is your own dwelling place. What does it mean to you that God has been the dwelling place of all those who came before you and is the dwelling place of all who will come after, to whom you and I will pass the baton? And how do you choose to participate in that reality? At the presbytery meeting last Tuesday, toward the end of the day, Amy Cantrell, who's been instrumental in forming and operating a ministry called Beloved Asheville, or Beloved Asheville, gave a short presentation that she'd been invited to deliver on behalf of that ministry, Beloved. It's one of the recipients of the nickel a meal offerings that we contribute each month in worship, and in fact will be received again 1 week from today in our worship service. Standing in the sanctuary of First Presbyterian Church, Asheville, Amy Cantrell said, "God is hungry. God's belly is growling. God is on a fixed income. God loves strawberries but rarely can afford them. God is getting forced out of her home due to gentrification. God's health care and food stamps are being cut. God is hungry." And so is Miss Edna, Miss Claudia, Miss Dorothy, Mr. Joe, Mr. Johnny, and Mr. Vaughn, who says he has made it to 100 because of the hot peppers he eats every day. She said, "Just blocks from here is the wilderness. There God brings manna. There God spreads a table. There, instead of a food pantry, we set up a farmer's market. Volunteers from every walk of life, retired Presbyterian pastors and 20-something anarchists, people living on the street and young mothers, spread tablecloths, fill baskets with food, fill baskets with veggies, fruit, bread, eggs, and milk. There is God's table in the wilderness." She said, "The first time we entered this wilderness, we met Ms. Ballou. She was 90 years old and living on a fixed income. She walked slowly with a walker. We had made an announcement that we were from Beloved Asheville across the street, and we had come to share a farmer's market, Everything is free. But she's hard of hearing. So she came up to me with a Roma tomato in her hand and a small black change purse. She looked at me with plaintive eyes and said, "How much?" I handed her a bag and said, "It's free. It's all free. Take as much as you need." She filled the bag. And that was the difference in her need and what she can afford. A Roma tomato or a bag brimming over with the freshest food on the planet. Amy continued, "There is a famine in the land. There are 6 food deserts in Asheville alone. 60% of people in Western North Carolina are surviving on $1,000 a month or less. 9 out of 10 say their number one coping strategy for a lean food budget is buying the cheapest food available, regardless of the health content. 3/4 make choices between food and heat. 1/2 between food and housing. 63% choose between food and medicine." She said, "At beloved Asheville, we try to practice sharing food and doing food justice. Through the Nickel a Meal program of the Presbytery of Western North Carolina, God is indeed setting a table for one and all. We are so grateful to your support of this kind of life together, sharing the bread of communion and justice." This Tuesday, day after tomorrow, it will be exactly 50 years since Luther unleashed his 95 theses and a Christian movement was born that continues to reverberate throughout the world, highlighting biblical truths that can never be hidden away or held apart from the world again. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We've spent this month not only celebrating the first 500 years of the Reformation, but also giving thanks for what God has done and declaring our unwavering trust in what God will do in and for this specific church family, succinctly summarized in 2 lines from Psalm 115. "The Lord has been mindful of us. God will bless us." So on this day, when it is appropriate to reflect on the gift of the reformers and the reformation of the church that they sought, maybe it's not too inappropriate to give thanks too for the Holy Spirit's continual activity in all the churches of the world, all our neighbors and siblings in Christ. Reformation Sunday is not a time for us to strut around as if we were better than any other Christian or any other church or any other person on earth. It's a day to give thanks for God's ongoing activity in the world and to seek God's strength and guidance for us to continue to participate in that activity. So with that in mind, I want to share with you the blessing, a blessing attributed to a 20th century American Catholic nun named Sister Rita Steinhagen, which so wonderfully encapsulates many of the ideals that Reformed Protestantism seeks to instill in all followers of Christ. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you will live deep in your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people and the earth, so that you will work for justice, equity, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer, so you will reach out your hands to comfort them and change their pain into joy. And may God bless you with the foolishness to think that you can make a difference in the world, so you will do the things which others say cannot be done. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper the work of our hands. O, prosper the work of our hands.